All right. Thank you, Jesse. We're going to continue in the parables. Last week, we're kind of finishing in this same scenario, same setting that was going on. And so as we start this morning, I want to just kind of refresh, because I know I saw some new faces this morning, which I'm grateful for. Pray that you continue to invite people to come. So I just want to kind of recap what's going on as we read this story this morning. It's still in this continuing dialogue that Jesus is having, okay? Jesus is having a dialogue with some some religious people, some false believers, if you will, those that, as he told a story, kind of relates to that talk a good game, but don't necessarily follow after who he is, okay? And so Jesus was in the midst of teaching in the temple. You can find this in the book of Matthew in chapter 21. Jesus is teaching in a temple, and Jesus is interrupted in the middle of his teaching. Okay, this was already a sign of disrespect by the religious leaders. They stopped Jesus and said, yeah, that's fine what you're saying, but hold up, I have a question that I want to ask you. They were asking Jesus a question: by what power or by what authority do you do the things you do? They had already heard about him raising people from the dead and feeding the 5,000 and touching a leper and healing him, all of these things. And they said, by what power or by what authority do you do these things? Okay. And as we were doing this, Jesus said, I'll answer your question if you can answer my question. So he answers a question with a question and says, by what authority did John the Baptist have? Who did he get it from? And it says that the leaders were puzzled. They sat back over by themselves and they said, well, if we answer it was from God, then he's going to say, well, why didn't you believe him? He says, if we answer that it was from man, then this crowd's going to jump on us because they loved John the Baptist. And so they didn't care about the truth. They cared about what people thought. Religious people who cared about what people thought more so than God that was standing there in the flesh. And so they're asking these questions and going through. And Jesus says, I'm going to teach you through this parable. And he talks about the parable of two sons. You may remember one that said, yes, I will go and work in the vineyard, and didn't. And one that said, no, I won't, but eventually did. And he said, be like that son. In fact, be like the tax collectors and the prostitutes. Everybody hear me this morning? Everybody listen real quick. Jesus and God in the flesh this morning, even if you're in line getting food, I want you to hear this. Jesus, instead of the religious people of the day, said, be like the tax collectors and the prostitutes, because they understand, they have come to a place of understanding that they need grace and mercy. They understand what I'm all about, and you're going through rituals, and you're going through rules, and you're trying to do good works and all these things. It's kind of like what Jesse was talking about. I want to just kind of venture off and say this morning. When I was a kid, I thought it was cool to be a skateboarder, man. I saw these people doing all these skateboards and all that stuff, and I tried to do skateboarding stuff, but the only problem with that is that I wound up with more scars than anything, right? I've still got them to this day. I'm almost 40 years old, and I've got scars from stuff I did when I was 8 and 12, tried to jump things. Man, that's the first thing you did when you got a skateboard or a bicycle, right, Jesse? You tried to jump things. You know, there was a word for people like me. They walked around with a skateboard. They looked like they knew what they were doing. They called them what? A poser. You know what I'm talking about? Anybody ever heard that word? But I found out that that word goes beyond just like in that little circle. See, all of us have some kind of poser. And these people that day, they were posing of the idea in front of God in the flesh, by the way, opposing that they had everything all together. They had followed the law to the T, but man, something was missing on the inside. See, you can pose in all kind of even good ways. You can be at a place like where Jesse was talking about this morning and feel like, man, I drank too much last night. I did this, and this, fill in the blank, and surely, if I just get on the right track, and you got all these I got us, if I just get on the right track, I got to do this, I got to do that, when really all we have to do is come to a place at the end of ourselves and say, God, I can't do it anymore on my own. I need you. That's where the posing stops and where you fall into relationship with him. And so Jesus is telling the people that. He's saying, listen, You're posing in all of these things. You're a religious leader, and you've got the law out, and you're wearing your church robes and all of these things, when really what you need to do is study the tax collector, which was hated in the day. Tax collectors were people who collected more tax than what was owed and put it in their pocket. That's what they did back then, right? More hated than even the IRS today. These were people that were despised. And prostitutes, we know what a prostitute does, right? They sell their body to another person. And Jesus is telling the religious leader, he said, be like them. They're the ones that are the example in the story because they've given their heart and life to me and they're not going back to that. Something's happened. Something's changed in their life. And he continues on and he tells about parables of a workers in a vineyard and all of these things. And in this story last week, Jesus foretells his death. He tells about maybe the owner of the vineyard would send his son and maybe they'll respect him. But it says eventually they even killed the son of the owner of the vineyard. And so the story will start today, and again, Jesus spoke to them in parables. And I want you to know, he's still on this long talk with these religious leaders. So he's been interrupted in his teaching. He's answered their question with a question. He's told two parables, and just when we think, the last week, it says the religious leader says, I think he's talking about us. Jesus starts with today, and so that's where today's story starts. It's in Matthew chapter 22, verse 1, it says this, and again Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. He sent his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding feast, but they would not come. Again, he sent other servants, saying, tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen, my fat calves, they've been slaughtered. Everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast. But they paid no attention. He went off to his farm, another to his business. And while the rest seized his servants and treated them shamefully and killed them, the king was angry and he sent his troops and destroyed those murderers and burned the city. And then he said to his servants, the wedding feast is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore to the main roads and invite to the wedding feast as many as you can find. And those servants went out into the roads and gathered all whom they had found, both bad and good. And so the wedding hall was filled with guests. It says, but when the king came to look at the guests, he saw there a man with no wedding garment. And he said to him, friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, bind him, hand him over, and cast him into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. Will you pray with me real quick this morning? Father, we pray that it wouldn't be my words this morning, that Holy Spirit would speak. That's always our prayer. And so, Father, I pray that you would speak in this place, that you would change lives today. Draw all of us closer to you than when we came this morning. We pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
A couple of things I want to point out this morning. One, I want to kind of tell you how weddings work back in the day, because it's really important to this story. You see, it was more of an arranged marriage. It was like a contract between families. And when this arrangement would happen, this is very important to understand kind of how Jesus is telling of these cultural weddings back then. And so these families would agree, and after they would make this agreement, they were legally married, but a ceremony hadn't taken place. And so what the groom would do is he would leave the bride, she would stay with her parents, and he would go off to prepare for the wedding ceremony and the wedding feast. It was a big deal. In fact, it was such a big deal that there was no set time frame. The groom would just go off and he would make all these preparations for this huge party that would last sometimes a week long, this wedding celebration. And as he would go and do this, he wouldn't announce when he was coming. He would just come and he would have some of his family and friends, and they would come and say, I'm here to get my bride. It would take them away, and then it would be just this huge celebration. And so Jesus is using the image of what they know of a wedding feast, that this preparations had been made, and that Jesus is really tying into the fact that, listen, I am really making this preparation for a great wedding feast myself. In fact, he's doing just like he did last week. He's going and he's retelling the story. Imagine this, Jesus telling religious leaders the story that I have made this great wedding feast and everyone's invited. I mean, he says that in here. Go out and find even the good and the bad. Everyone. Everyone has an invitation. First, he invited all the Israelites, those that were his chosen people, and these religious leaders would have been in that bunch. And he says, we went and invited everybody, but some of them just didn't want to come. In fact, not only did they not want to come, but they treated everybody I sent to tell them about this wedding feast very harshly. In fact, many they didn't listen to, some they killed. John the Baptist, in fact, that they had talked about, was beheaded. And then he says, I'll even send my own son. Jesus telling about himself in this story and saying that they even murdered his son. Jesus, again, foretelling of his death. He's telling about this great wedding feast that all are invited and all these things. I want you to listen to this story, though, as Jesus is telling, because this is where you and I enter the story. All right? I want you to listen to this. In verse 9, here's what he says. When he goes through this idea, Jesus is talking to the religious leaders, and he said, so many of you have not listened to the invitation. You have not accepted the invitation to come to the wedding feast. Here's what he says. Go, therefore, to the main roads. I want you just to look at the roads right here. Look up here. We see people passing by. You've walked in on these streets. He says, I want you to go to every main road you can have, and I want you to stand out there and say, there's a wedding feast. Come. You're invited. And see, many people would do this. You say, well, that's all good for you because you're standing with a Bible in your hand and you got everything together. First off, I have nothing together. I've given my life to Jesus, and He is the only thing that's good in me. If you've ever seen anything good in me, trust me, it's from Him. It's not anything I could muster up. You see, in fact, it talks about a man that came and he was naked. Imagine going to a wedding feast and there was a man naked. Right? First off, we need some help. Get a brother a towel. Cover him up. We don't need to see that stuff, right? I love you, but if you show up naked here one week, I'm going to try to cover you up real quick, like. All right? Nobody wants to see that. But here's what he's talking about. I want you to listen to this. We are all dressed in something. I want you to listen to me this morning. I believe this is from God. We are all dressed in something. The Word tells us this, that if you are going to come in your righteousness to the wedding feast, the best you can muster up, the Word says that it's like filthy rags. Not to be too graphic this morning, but that means like from a woman, from her period. The rags there. That's as good as we can come up with. You can do as much good as you want to, and that's as clean as you can come before God on your own. That's what this person did. Jesus is saying, man, he's at the wedding feast, and listen, he's not dressed in anything. I want to tell you, Revelation tells us, though, about this, that those who come to the wedding feast like Jesus are like those who have white robes. And this is crazy because our math doesn't add up. Here, if you take something white that's pure and clean, a garment, and you spill something on it, like if you were to take wine, if you were to take grape juice, if you were to take anything and spill it on it, it would be stained. But here's what it says, that the robes are white because they had been dipped in blood. The blood's what covers and makes it white. There's nothing that you can do. Jesse could stand here and sing songs about Jesus until Jesus comes again. It's not going to matter. If he's in his own righteousness, he'll be standing naked before a holy God with filthy rags. But it says, man, to come in his righteousness. In fact, I want to read a scripture this morning found in Philippians 3. And I want to tell you here, as Paul is writing and talking about this very same thing, in Philippians chapter 3, here's what it says. And found in him. I want to be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law. Right? Nothing that I could muster up, no good deeds that I could do. But that comes through faith in Christ is the righteousness from God, and that depends on faith. I want to stand before him in his righteousness. I want to stand before him in that white robe dipped in blood. When he looks at me, he looks at me as Jesus. He doesn't see me as Keith because Keith has nothing to offer. I could take every good deed I've ever done and lay it down. And if it's in my flesh, it's filthy rags. The man to stand before him dipped in that white robe that's been dipped in blood, that's standing before him. And just like Jesse said this morning, that's how I can confidently know that if I draw my last breath tomorrow, don't you be sad because I've stood before a God and he said, my son, come on in. And it's nothing that I've done. It's nothing. It's going to be a worshipful moment where I don't know that I'll even be able to speak in that moment because he's going to look at me as like the righteousness of Jesus because that's what covers me. Two things this morning I just want to say in closing. There is going to be this amazing wedding feast and you're all invited. You've got an invitation. You're in. You know, I remember, you know, as a kid, one of the big things was like when somebody had a party, man, am I going to be invited? Do I have what it takes to be invited? Listen to me this morning. Everybody lock eyes with me this morning. I'm going to kind of scan the place here. I want you to lock eyes. There is an invitation, and it has your name on it. You are invited. You have what it takes to be invited. He died for you so you could come right on in. Man, and the good thing about that, that's not just for heaven. That's for here in everyday life. It says in the Bible that he came to give us life and to give it to us abundantly. That's not just for heaven. That's here right now. And that may not be wrapped in the way we want it. It may not be wrapped in stuff. In fact, it may even make this life tougher. But I promise you, he'll be with you. He'll see you through it. And one day, that same thing. Come on in, my son. Come on in, my daughter. Is that worth saying amen to this morning?
Amen.
I want to pray God's blessings over you this morning. Father, I thank you for this day. It's my prayer, God, that each and every person here knows you. If not, that today would be the day, that would be the first invitation that's accepted. That invitation that just like in this story today, the God in the flesh, the Son of God, said, go out into the major roads and tell everyone they're invited. Man, God, thank you for inviting me. I'm not worthy of that invitation, but Father, somehow in the grand scheme of things, I am because I'm your son. It's an amazing thought. I thank you for that. I pray that, Father, we'll walk in that, we'll embrace that truth, we'll understand that we can lay the poser down and we can accept who we really are, that no matter what we've done, no matter what we're doing, no matter what we will do, has no reflection over that. We can stand before you as son or daughter, all because of that white robe that's placed on us. And not white robe of our own righteousness, because that's filthy rags, but a white robe that's been dipped in blood. And not just any blood, not just an animal's blood, as the Old Testament sacrifices did, but the blood of God himself in the flesh, Jesus, who came and died the death that I needed to die, that I couldn't. He lived the life that I needed to live, and I couldn't. Father, some of us are at the place today where we need to come to the end of ourselves and say, Father, would you just help me? Maybe I'm the religious poser. Maybe I'm trying to do all this on my own. Would you just come to me? Father, I promise if we pray that, he'll come to us. Father, bless my friends out here. I love them. I thank you for them. I thank you for the smiles on their faces today. Father, just the hugs and the talks. Father, it warms my heart every week out here. I thank you for this family. Father, be with Jesse as he plays. Father, just lead him in that. God, just thank you for today. Can you say amen for that gift of grace? Amen.